This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you ready?
I don't know what we're yelling about!
You have to be intelligent.
Coming from a man who once dyed his hair blue.
Oh, that was way harsh.
He's not afraid to tell you how it is.
It is my show.
Boom, boom, boom.
His favorite player of all time is Rob Mikowiak.
You gotta be braving me.
Okay, we might have made that up. You're listening to Kevin Zpac.
Wheels come off the Joe Madden hippie van that they're riding around in.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in to 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name's Kevin Zpac. Hanging out here for a couple of hours today, as I am known to do sometimes on Sunday mornings. About 59 minutes left, if anybody... Or wait, no, how, it's 2 hours? Oh, it's 2 hours today. Blimey. All right. Well, we got a lot on the docket this morning. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. And if you were out at Sox Fest Friday or Saturday, I'm a little jealous, first and foremost. The thing sold out this year, which goes to show that the buzz, the interest level, maybe the expectations for the White Sox this year are a lot higher. And they themselves, even members of the organization with Rick Hahn, Ricky Renteria, among others this weekend, you know, talking playoffs, talking about the expectations being raised. And I want to kind of gauge where everybody's at with the White Sox, because as I am a big White Sox fan, and I do try to obviously invest in the team and get excited when I think that they are on the right track and I think that they have made good moves. And I do think that they've put themselves in a good position, but I still think it's very important to be realistic about it without trying to be too negative. See, that's the hard balance to try to strike. You want to be realistic. You don't want to go over the top. You don't want to be a fanboy. So you do kind of rein yourself in a little bit and you talk about some things that maybe aren't so peachy, but then people start calling you negative and people start calling you cynical. So I'm going to try to strike that balance this morning with a lot of White Sox talk and a little bit of a preview as, geez, we're only 2 months from opening day, March 26th, right? And today is January 26th, so that is exciting. The phone number here, as always, is 312-644-6767. You can send us a text message at 67011 if you choose to interact that way. You can always follow me on Twitter at Kevbo_. My producer this morning is Sean Anderson. Hello, Sean. What's up?
What's up, Kevin? How are you?
What's your Twitter?
Sean_W_Anderson.
See, that's...
Because every variation of Sean Anderson has been taken.
That's too... I have the one underscore in mine, and I thought that was too many. And you have two underscores.
Two underscores. But, I mean, it's kind of like if you were spacing out my name, so that's how at least I try to do it.
Hey, man. Whatever helps you sleep at night. Were you at... You're a Sox fan, right? Were you at the fest at all this weekend?
No, I was working.
You were working here?
Yeah, I was working here.
Okay, I forgot you had to work on the weekends.
Also, I don't like crowds, so it doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, that's understandable. And there were massive crowds. Like I said, it was sold out this year for the first time in God knows how long. You know, the past... I don't even want to just say the past few years have been rough for White Sox fans as they've been rebuilding. The time as a White Sox fan has been rough for a while. They have not made the playoffs since 2008. They haven't been over 500 since 2012. They have sort of tried and failed to build up a team since 2008, since the last time they were in the playoffs. Of course, we all remember going into 2011 after the acquisitions of Adam Dunn, and they re-signed Canerco, and they brought Alex Rios in about a year before that. That was the dreaded all-in season. That did not pan out so well. They tried to build the team around pitching a couple of years after that. Chris Sale, Jose Quintana as the two anchors of the rotation. Adam Eaton was brought in. Adam LaRoche, for God's sake. We all remember how that ended up. And then, of course, a couple of years after that, Chris Sale, of course, cutting the jerseys. There's been a lot of tenuous, bizarre things going on amongst the cloud of the White Sox for a while. But this year, going into 2020, it all seems very different for a number of reasons. When the White Sox decided to reboot this thing one more time after the 2016 season and trading Chris Sale and eventually trading Quintana midway through the 2017 season, trading Adam Eaton, restocking the farm system and being upfront with the fan base that this was going to take a few years. It's not going to be pretty for a while. You're going to have to endure some 90-plus loss seasons, and there have been many of them. But then last year, you started to see some of the promising young players sort of come into their own a little bit. Obviously, Lucas Giolito was fantastic. A couple of the young guys in the bullpen, Aaron Bummer in particular, emerged as a great, unexpected lefty out of the pen. Tim Anderson wins a batting title. Yoan Moncada grows into what he was supposed to be when he was acquired all those years back. And, of course, you add in players like Eloy Jimenez, James McCann having an all-star season. So you started to see some of the promise that was promised to you from the White Sox organization come into their own a little bit last year. That's kind of what started to get people a little bit excited. And then they go out this year, they spend the money on Grandal, on Keuchel. And really, at this point in this division, is when you started to first think that maybe the White Sox could make a move in the American League Central. Now, like I said, I try to strike a balance here between my optimism and my affection for the White Sox and being realistic. Maybe the division is very top-heavy, we'll say, because Minnesota's still going to be out there. I mean, they won close to 100 games last year. They were hitting home runs at a ridiculous rate. They're not going anywhere. They just signed Josh Donaldson as well. A huge pickup for them in their offense. Cleveland Indians aren't going anywhere. They are kind of the opposite of the Twins, where they don't really have a very good offense at all, but they've got really good starting pitching with guys like Bieber and Plesac and Clevinger. They've got guys that can absolutely hurl it, and they're also coming off of a 90-win season. So Kansas City and Detroit are both dreadful. They're rebuilding. If the White Sox are going to want to have a shot this year, they're going to have to clean up against bad teams like Kansas City and Detroit. But that seems very far away right now, even though opening day, like I said, is just a couple of months away. Thinking playoffs right now, I think, is a little premature for me from where I'm sitting. Are there going to be better, the White Sox, this year? Of course. I think they're going to be over 500. You know, mid-80s win total, depending on what things click and what things don't click. I mean, there are a lot of variables, and we can get into those over the course of the program. But really what I'm sort of trying to drive at here is for any White Sox fans out there that are listening, and I know you're out there, what are your realistic expectations for the 2020 Chicago White Sox? Are you completely over your skis? You're talking 90, 95 wins. Giolito, another Cy Young esque performance, Cease, Kopech, Rodon, all of these guys coming into their own all at once. The offense with Luis Robert and Eloy and Yoan, Tim Anderson, Grandal, of course, and Encarnacion. Are these guys going to hit like the Twins did last year? I think if you are super optimistic and positive, you can talk yourself into thinking the White Sox are even the favorite in the American League Central. But you have to temper the expectations a little bit if you're me. Because I try not to get too excited about anything in my old age, because you're just going to be disappointed. But you can also go the other direction. Like I said, if you want to be a little bit more reserved, say, well, Giolito can't do what he did last year, and Keuchel's past his prime, and Kopech and Rodon, or, you know, they can't stay healthy, and blah, blah, blah. And you could go either way with it. I want to know what White Sox fans, you know, kind of a straw poll type thing today. I want to see what are your expectations for the 2020 White Sox. The phone number is 312-644-6767.
Ask me after the parade.
That, of course, White Sox general manager Rick Hahn, who dropped the parade word quite often a little too often maybe over the weekend. And that's another thing that that I sort of just hit on a little bit briefly during the beginning of the show there. It's not just Sox fans that are getting, you know, excited and sort of talking about playoffs and parades and multiple this and multiple that. You've got Ricky Renteria and you've got Rick Hahn out there up front this weekend saying, yeah, it put that on us. You know, we want to be able to be viewed upon as a legitimate contender in this division, as a legitimate threat to get into the playoffs. We're all for it. And you hear the same thing from the GM, from the manager, from the players, even from guys like Grandal and Keuchel, the new acquisitions. They say, yeah, we came here to win, and the money helped. But I think in their minds, this is a project that has been in development for quite some time, and I think you're going to start to see the beginning of it. This is the beginning stage. And, you know, we're always going to compare the White Sox with the Cubs, and especially now that the White Sox have gone about rebuilding this team in a similar way that you saw with the Cubs or with the Houston Astros. It's kind of a, it's just kind of the thing you do right now. You lose on purpose for years and years at a time, and you build up draft picks and you build up your minor league system. And then several years down the line, you turn yourself into a contender. It's just, it's in vogue right now. But the White Sox and Cubs are always going to be compared with one another. And the way that the Cubs sort of leapt forward from 2014 to 2015 was pretty massive and unexpected, frankly. I mean, I remember I was working here at the Score at that time, and we had just gotten the rights to Cubs games at the station. I think 2015 was the first year we carried Cubs games here on the Score. And of course, you know, we were excited to have them here and all of the eyeballs and the money that would bring in for the station. But nobody was really talking Cubs playoffs before the 2015 season. I know they had just signed John Lester at that point, and they were starting to move forward in their own process at the time. But they went on to win, what, 96, 97 games that year? I mean, they were right there. And if it wasn't for Pittsburgh and St. Louis, I think, also being in that division that year, they would have won that National League Central straight away. But it was kind of an unexpected thing with the Cubs. So they didn't have that same level of expectations on them from that point, from a bad team to a good team. People thought that they would creep forward a little bit, but the way that they sort of skipped these steps, they made it look easy. You know, just coming forward in 2015 and winning 90-plus games, winning the World Series the year after that, going back to the National League Championship Series the year after that. And the Cubs made it look a lot easier than it actually is. So I think one thing with the White Sox going into 2020 with some of the expectations that they themselves and the fans have now put on them, and the media is starting to pay much more attention to the White Sox than they have in many years. I can't remember the last time at this station in particular has paid so much attention to the White Sox and all the coverage and all the sound and everything that was gathered from Sox Fest over the weekend. And there's a lot that I want to get to in terms of audio that we're going to play for you before we're out of here at 9 o'clock. But I just want to, like I said, take a little bit of a straw poll with White Sox fans and see where you're at with the 2020 team. Realistically, do you think they can make a run? Do you think it's premature? Are you going for steady incremental progress? Do you just want to see them maybe creep forward a little bit and kind of temper those expectations a little bit? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4, KIDS. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm going to be hanging out until 9 o'clock this morning. As I said, going to have a lot of White Sox talk and a lot of White Sox audio throughout the show today. Josh Nelson from Sox Machine will hop on the program at 8 o'clock. Of course, want to take your calls, your tweets, your text messages all morning long as well. 312-644-6767, the phone number here. My name is Kevin Zipak. I am here till 9 on 670 The Score.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I would be disappointed if we don't make the postseason. I think that would be accurate. We want to break through. We want this to be an impactful season, and I think you can't force those things. You got to allow them to obviously play themselves out. But I think man for man now we at least have a little bit more ammunition to be able to go out and compete, hopefully on a consistent basis that puts those victories on the board.
I think the expectations are understandably high, at least when you talk to Ricky or the coaches or any of the players or anyone in uniform. Their expectation is that this team is in a position to win in the 2020 season, during the 2020 season, which is exactly where all of us in the front office would want them to be. That said, you know, whether you're talking Jerry or Kenny or myself, the entire purpose of this rebuild was to put ourselves in a multi-year position to win multiple championships.
Welcome back on in, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name's Kevin Zipak. Thanks for listening to me. Maybe one day we'll get the cameras up and running for my Sunday morning show here, and everybody can see how good I look at 7 a.m. on a Sunday. On the voices that you heard on the way in there were, of course, Ricky Renteria, the skipper of the White Sox, and then the general manager, Rick Hahn, the architect, I guess, if you want to call him that, of the roster here going into 2020. And they are using the playoff word already, right off the bat. During Sox Fest, during the offseason, leading up to the season opener, they open at home, on March 26th, exactly 2 months from today. And I talked a little bit about it in the first segment of the show, how it seems like they have so much buzz right now, and not only within the city, because of course some of the other teams in town right now, like the Cubs, are coming off a disappointing couple of seasons, a disappointing offseason certainly for Cubs fans, without any major acquisitions. The Bulls are, you know, whatever that is. They did win last night, apparently. Sean and I figured that out this morning, that the Bulls did indeed beat Cleveland. And then the Bears, rough season as well. And the Blackhawks kind of middling in the Western Conference. So I think the White Sox, because of the context and where every other team in town is right now, it looks like the White Sox have, you know, the arrow pointing up. The expectations now are on the Sox to kind of carry the mantle, I guess, of success in Chicago, which is totally not how it usually is. It's wild that the White Sox are, for one, getting this much buzz, like I said earlier, had not happened in quite some time, probably since before the 2011 season, when they spent a lot of money in the offseason to varying degrees of success. But nationally, I think as well, when you watch some of the, you know, whether it's MLB Network or Fox Sports, ESPN, whatever, whenever they're talking about baseball, the White Sox often come up as, you know, maybe a team that could make a jump. And Sean, thank you for the stat here regarding the 2015 Cubs. They won 97 games, jumped up from 24 wins from 2014 to 2015, and the preseason over-under for the Cubs that year was around 83.5. So they thought they'd be about a 500 team, maybe a game better, ended up winning 97. If the White Sox jumped up 24 wins from last season, that would be surprising to me. This was a team that was 72-89 last season. And this is, again, why I'm trying to sort of not get too ridiculously excited for the season. I'm very excited. Maybe I don't want to say that I'm not excited. That's probably the wrong thing to say, because I am excited. I'm always excited for baseball. Even when the Sox stunk and I knew they were going to lose 90 games, I would still be excited, because baseball represents, you know, a rebirth, if you will, you know, springtime. Getting out of the winter. It's baseball. It's on every day. It's comforting. It's there for you. But it's different when you actually do have these expectations and you have members of the front office, the manager of the team, new players, old players talking about playoffs, it's hard not to sort of get a little over your skis. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Want to see where White Sox fans are at today, coming off of the Sox Fest, with the realistic expectations for the 2020 team. 312-644-6767. Let's start with Derek. He's in Beloit. Good morning, Derek. What's up?
Morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think that the White Sox, I think this is how it'll probably play out. If they play to their potential, and then health will be huge. It always is. It's that way for every team in baseball. But I think what'll happen is if they're playing to their potential, I could see them being right there with the Twins. And the Twins, you know, it can go either way for them. If they don't maintain their health, you know, they could be a non-factor. But if they're healthy and play to their potential, I think the fact that they didn't sign Machado gives them a little flexibility to where they could make a really impactful signing right before the trade deadline, and the team could really take off going into October. So that's where I see things happening. So if they stay healthy and they play to their potential, I would look for them, if the window of opportunity presents itself. I don't think they'll pull down the shade. I think they'll go out and get somebody, and I think it could be a really, really good season.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much for checking in, Derek. Health is certainly something that is important for any team in any sports. The number one thing, if your team cannot stay healthy and you're starting to funnel in guys that shouldn't be starting or shouldn't be getting a lot of playing time, of course, that's going to affect you, whether it is the White Sox or the Twins or Cleveland or whomever else is going to be in contention in the Central. I certainly agree with you there. That's a good point. I do not agree with you on Manny Machado. And that's something in certain circles of White Sox Twitter or amongst White Sox fans or just conversations that I have with White Sox fans, people that call and text into the station, listeners, what have you. It seems like people are happy that they didn't sign Manny Machado before last season. And that somehow, had they signed Manny Machado, it would have precluded them from making all of the signings that they've made this offseason, acquiring Dallas Keuchel and Yasmani Grandal and Edwin Encarnacion. I haven't even mentioned him yet either. I mean, that's a really good veteran power bat that any team could use, frankly. But I think that, in fact, I don't just think it, I know it to be a fact. They could have signed Manny Machado before last year and done the exact same thing as they did this year, and they'd also have Manny Machado. Maybe Yoan Moncada, you move him around, he's still going to be on the roster. Machado would be the everyday third baseman. Clearly, you'd find a spot for Moncada, whether it was back at second base, somewhere in the outfield. It's not, we don't have to really think about that because it never happened. But I think if they had Manny Machado right here or going into the 2020 season, and don't tell me about how much money he's making or the payroll. You could add $30 more million onto this payroll for this year, and Jerry Reinsdorf would be doing just fine, believe me. But it wasn't one or the other. It wasn't you sign Manny Machado or the next year you sign all these other guys. They could have easily done both, and they'd be in an even better position had they signed Manny Machado.
And this is from Daryl Ventuin yesterday from Sox Fest. He said, fans thank Han for not spending $300 million on Machado or Harper.
It's ridiculous.
And there is more than a fair amount of applause. Han reacts with an amused smile.
Yeah, and I can picture the exact, grin, the Rick Han grin, where he's kind of, okay. He's kind of, I don't want to call him smug, but sometimes he can have a little bit of a smug look to him. I'll say that. That's a perfect example there, Sean, and maybe that's what kind of jogged this into my memory. I probably saw the same exact tweet as you did. Somebody thanking the general manager for not signing one of the best players in baseball. It makes no sense to me. And maybe people do think that it would have stopped them. I don't think it would have. The same players would have been available this winter. They still would have been after Grandal because he was one of the best hitters on the market. They still would have signed Dallas Keuchel because they needed help and depth in the rotation. Maybe it would have stopped them from signing Encarnacion because, both right-handed power bats. Maybe that's the one. But of course, you'd rather have Machado over Edwin Encarnacion. No disrespect. I like Encarnacion. I think that was a good signing. But if it's one or the other, you'd rather have Manny Machado. So I just think that's an interesting way to look at things. You could never have enough good players. And that seems so simple. It sounds like the most simple, reductive thing in the world. But it's always going to be better to have more good players than fewer good players. 708 texter here interesting point of view with Machado. Imagine if the Cubs didn't sign Hayward. I'm not sure what he's getting at there. They did win a World Series.
If they didn't sign Hayward, then they wouldn't have Hayward.
That's the Jason Hayward thing is, you know, if they didn't sign Jason Hayward would be playing for another team. If they didn't have Jason Hayward, would they have still won the World Series in 2016? I wonder about that. You know, statistically, he had a bad year with the bat. He wasn't even playing a ton during their playoff run. But, you know, defensively, he's very good, and he has been, and he was that year. The leadership aspect, you know, the veteran guile, the big speech in Cleveland in Game 7 of the World Series, a lot of the players and guys that were around that team put a lot of credence into Jason Hayward and the leadership and, you know, the fact that he had been there before. So I often wonder about that. Although with Hayward and Machado, it's kind of apples and oranges because Manny Machado hits. Jason Hayward doesn't really hit so much. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is how you send a text message. We will receive that here, and we can see your whole phone number, just so you know. So if you're that guy that was texting in during the At Issue show with all of your ridiculous political views, we know where you are. We know who you are. We can find you. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single-game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Trying to get a gauge on White Sox fans and their expectations for the 2020 season here this morning. Of course, Sox Fest has come to a conclusion after a very simple weekend. Talked to a lot of people that were out there. They said it was packed, obviously, if it's sold out. But very, very high level of excitement. The buzz is there. The players are having fun. I saw a lot of funny videos from some of the players throughout the Twitterverse over the past couple of days. And for one, this morning at 8 o'clock, I mentioned we're going to talk to Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. He was at Sox Fest, of course. He's one of the best around when it comes to following the White Sox. If you've never visited SoxMachine.com or listened to the Sox Machine podcast and you are a White Sox fan, you are depriving yourself of some great, intelligent content there. So we're going to talk to Josh at 8. And I want to see, you know, he's a very level-headed guy. I want to see in particular where he is and the collective, if you will, of Sox Machine Brain Trust is with the White Sox. When people ask me, Kev, you know, what do you think a realistic expectation is for the 2020 White Sox? I usually will say between 83 and 88 wins. And I think that's good for a team that won 72 games last year. Of course, you want to be able to make a leap up, but I don't know if I want to call them contenders in the division quite yet. And that opinion there has gotten me a little bit of blowback because I am often accused of being negative or cynical, and I swear I really don't try to be. It may come off that way a lot of the times, but I do think that the ease that some people think of leapfrogging Minnesota and leapfrogging Cleveland from one season to the next. Granted, they had a great offseason, the White Sox, but being able to get over two teams, not you're not just, you know, trying to get over one and boom, you're number one in the division. These were teams, Minnesota won 100 games last year. They hit more home runs than I think anybody outside of the New York Yankees. I talked about how Cleveland has been there every single year with their starting pitching, and they've still got hitters like Lindor for the time being, and Jose Ramirez. So they're not going anywhere either. And there are still a couple of things with the White Sox, as fun as I think the team will be. I think that their offseason, while good, had the potential to have been better. You know, I'm not exactly thrilled with having Nomar Mazara as the everyday right fielder. He's still young. He's still got a bucket of potential. I could be wrong about that. I'd love to be wrong about Nomar Mazara, but I think he's an average to below average player that you're going to be giving the bulk of the starts to in right field. And I think for a team with playoff aspirations that has a ton of talent elsewhere, I think to have a gaping hole like that in your lineup is not ideal. When Ozuna was out there for a while, he just signed with the Braves, so he's off the market. Nick Castellanos is still out there. That's still an option for me, which would have been better than Mazara, and they have the money. And they still have the money in case they wanted to go that route. I really like the look of the Sox rotation, but the caller brought it up, I believe it was Derek, about 10 minutes ago. Injury concerns, and there are a lot of them, particularly, around a guy like Carlos Rodon, who's not even going to be available until June, July. You know, his whole career, his tenure with the White Sox has been injury-plagued, to say the least. Michael Kopech is a guy who has all the potential in the world, and I want to play a little bit of Michael Kopech's interview that he had on the McNeil and Parkin show a little bit later in the show. Super interesting stuff from Mac and Parkins when they sat down with Michael Kopech on Thursday. But he's a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery who it seems like will not break camp with the team. They're going to bring him along slowly. And, you know, obviously he will probably be on an innings limit. Dylan Cease, another kid with a ton of potential, and you saw flashes of it last year, but he wasn't able to put it together as a rookie. You don't imagine that he's going to go out there and pitch 200 innings this year. I'm sure they'll be watching him very closely as well. And Ronaldo Lopez, I mean, up and down and up and down since he's been brought up a few years ago there too. So I think that there was room for another starting pitcher. You can never have too much starting pitching. And when you look at the numbers here, Giolito, Keuchel, Lopez, Cease, Kopech, Rodon, on paper, that's a ton of depth. But I talked about injury concerns, innings limits, and you know, potentially shutting a guy like Kopech down later in the year because they want to be very careful with him. And I get that. I understand it. People will be angry about it when it happens. But I think that there are a number of examples over the past decade or so where expressing caution, particularly with a starting pitcher, is usually the best way to go about it. We all remember the Nationals shutting down Steven Strasburg before the playoffs. I think it was 2012, might have been 2013, but he was shut down and Nationals fans were ticked off about it. A lot of people were ticked off about it. You know, this guy's not tough. He doesn't want to win, this and that. It took a few years after that, but Steven Strasburg eventually was the World Series MVP for the Nationals in their run. Contrarily, going back to 2015 here, and you look at the New York Mets team that beat the Cubs in the National League Championship Series, Matt Harvey that year was on an innings limit. And the plan was to shut down Matt Harvey late in that season, to preserve him, to be cautious with him, and think about the long view a little bit more than the here and now. They went the other route with it. They went over Matt Harvey's innings limit. They let him go out there and pitch deep into the playoffs, into the World Series. They eventually lost that series, and Matt Harvey was never the same after that. It kind of ruined his career from that point forward, and he's been bouncing around. So those are just the two most extreme examples, but you know, you can even look at a guy like Chris Paddock from the Padres last season, who's a very similar pitcher to Kopech. Big, strong, right-handed power pitcher, can get up there 97, 98, 99 if he needs to. Had Tommy John surgery as well, like Kopech did in his past, and Paddock was shut down last year, I think, at 150 innings. So you might see something similar like that with Kopech this year, and maybe they want to save some of those bullets for later in the year, in September, October. Hopefully, if the Sox are playing in October, you'd rather have Kopech later in the year than have to shut him down earlier in the season. So there's so many different variables, not only with the pitching, but I think that's where you find a lot of variance in opinions on how good the White Sox can be. And I think that'll be the key to the whole thing, is how good the starting pitching is, because I think they're going to hit. You look at the lineup, and especially when Madrigal gets up here as well. I don't know when that will be exactly. He's got a shot to make the team out of spring. I think Rickon said that over the weekend. They're going to give him a shot, which is nice, but I think offensively this team is going to be just fine. For me, though, there is a lot of questions with the starting rotation and a lot of very, very high ceilings for a lot of these guys, but also kind of questionable floors and questions with injuries, questions with durability, questions about guys like Cease and Lopez making a step like you saw Giolito do last year. Are they capable of it? They have the potential, and they've shown it at different times, but just not consistent enough for me anyway, to really, really buy in to this pitching staff. And I think that's probably the most fascinating part to me of the White Sox, to see what the starting five in the rotation can do. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. Once again, want to check in with your White Sox thoughts, your prognostications for the upcoming 2020 season. 67011. That's how you send in a text. 847 texter asks me, do you believe if they don't make the postseason, if it's a disappointment? For me, I would say no. I don't think you could say it's disappointing if they don't make the playoffs in 2020. I was talking to our program director, Mitch Rosen, a little bit before the show. He's a Sox fan as well. He recognizes the buzz. He wants the team to do well. He knows that's good for everybody if the team is doing well. But I was talking to him, and I said, you know, if they win 84 games and they're in the race all season long, I don't think you can be disappointed with that. People will be. If that is in fact what happens, if they don't win the National, or excuse me, the American League Central, or win a wild card spot, even get into that play-in game, what have you, I think a lot of people would be really ticked off about that and be disappointed. I'm just trying, like I said earlier in the show, to try to temper my expectations as best as possible. If you go in thinking they're going to win 100 games and Cease and Kopech and Giolito are going to be this hydra of a beast of a starting pitching staff, and everybody on the team is going to hit 20, 30, 40 home runs, and the bullpen's going to shut everybody down, you're bound to be disappointed. So you have to find that sweet spot somewhere. And as we get closer and closer to spring training, to opening day of the regular season 2 months from now, you know, maybe there is another move in the coffers, so to speak. Rick Hahn is always going to try to upgrade the team, and there's another spot maybe for a bench guy, a utility man, maybe another arm in the bullpen. But I don't be surprised if you see another minor move or two from the White Sox before the season opens up on March 26th. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. A lot of text messages rolling in here at 67011. I'll read a few of those on the way back here after a timeout. Also want to play a little bit of Michael Kopech from McNeil and Parkins from a few days ago, a great interview that they did with the Sox young right-handed pitcher. And Josh Nelson from Sox Machine will be on at 8 o'clock. My name's Kevin Zipek. I'm here until 9 this morning. Hello, on 670 The Score.
I'm doing great. You know, I got healthy towards the end of last year, and I got some rehab innings in before I took off for the off season, and I came back with their, you know, a normal off season and not having to do a full rehab stint, and I'm back in Arizona now, and well, I'm in Chicago, but I was just in Arizona and getting healthy and ready for spring. So I'm feeling good and feeling competitive.
Welcome back on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak, hanging out until 9 o'clock this morning. Sean Anderson is my producer today. Sean, this is a nice chill beat to study, relax, and hang out to. What is this?
I stole it from Tanny. It's Resurrection by Common, because Michael Kopech is back.
You shouldn't steal music bumps from other producers.
Well, he wouldn't have known because he's probably sleeping. So yeah,
I'm sure. No, he's awake. He's listening to me because I'm talking about the White Sox, and I've been talking about the White Sox all morning long. I will continue to do so because this weekend was Sox Fest. And the buzz around the team, I think, is very real. I think it's palpable. And it's not just because the Cubs are where they are. And I don't really know where the Cubs are right now. They're bringing back the exact same team that just won 84 games last season and finished in third place while losing Cole Hamels, losing the addition of Castellanos, who was carrying them offensively down the stretch. Potentially losing Chris Bryant. It seems like whenever that grievance ruling comes down, Bryant will be on the next flight to Atlanta. So I don't really know where the Cubs are, and I don't think anybody does. They're in a very confusing spot right now. The Bulls, enough said. You know, they're obviously a disaster. The Bears are coming off a very, very disappointing season. And the Blackhawks are sort of middling a little bit in the Western Conference. So the White Sox are the one team here in Chicago that seems to have the arrow pointing up. And I wonder if it's maybe just by default that we're all just looking toward the White Sox. Like, oh, all these other teams are kind of in a bad way right now. The White Sox have to come along and save us from sports hell. This segment was brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. On the way in there, after Sean stole a music bump from a different producer, you heard the voice
borrowed.
Borrowed. Okay. Borrowed. Yeah, you put it back when you were through using it. You heard the voice of Michael Kopech, White Sox right-handed pitcher. I mentioned McNeil and Parkins had him on the station a few days ago, and it was a great interview. You're going to play a chunk of that here just in a moment, as a matter of fact. I want to address a couple of the texts that rolled in, though, during the break. 708 texter asked, Kevin, the lowest bar of success for 2020 has to be a 500 record, right? I think that's fair. You know, I've been saying all morning long that I don't want to get too ahead of myself with predicting them, you know, 95 wins, division champ, playoff run, anything like that. This is, after all, year one of what should be a very prolonged period of sustained success. And that's kind of the phrase that everybody wants to throw around, developing sustainable success. And this is just year one of that. So I think that's another reason why I'm not getting too overhyped, or I don't want to overhype what they're going to be able to do, because there will be a lot of innings limits and cautious behavior, with particularly in the rotation. So 500 record, I think, though, is a fair bar. You know, for a team that won 72 last year and added a ton and is getting a ton back from injuries and what have you, I think a 10-win leap, you know, it seems like a lot, but I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely reasonable, at the least, to expect this to be a 500 team. 630 texter says, I'm excited. I just can't get behind the Hispanic version of Terry Bevington leading the team. He is the worst in-game manager. They should have gone with AJ. I can understand a little apprehension regarding Ricky Renteria, but this is really the first real shot that he's had as a manager. He's been managing teams that have been going through rebuilds, that have been struggling, that haven't really been trying to win, for lack of a better term. But now he's got the team, he's got the ambition, he's got the funds from the front office, and he's the guy they put in the spot that they think is the right man for the job. It's why they brought him in a couple years ago, and it's why that they wanted to get somebody in on the ground floor that wasn't Robin Ventura, thank God, but they wanted to get somebody in that could kind of grow himself as well as a manager and grow with the young players and kind of build that relationship between front office, manager, the players themselves, and sort of all grow together. So this is going to be a big test for Renteria as well. And to the texter, you know, I mean, Hispanic version of Terry Bevington, I think, is a little harsh. Terry Bevington was completely inept, and I don't think Ricky's quite that bad. But it's a big test for him, and it's the first time where he will be even more scrutinized, because these games will matter more, you know, especially if the White Sox do find themselves in contention throughout the course of the year. 574 texter says, Zach LaVine, one player in town. All Chicagoans can be all very proud and excited about. Yeah, I think that's fair. Although somebody's got to score in that team. All right, we're going to talk to Josh Nelson at the top of the hour, but first I want to play a little bit, just a small chunk of Michael Kopech from the McNeil and Parkins show Thursday afternoon. This was really good, and I know that was a few days ago, but if you haven't heard it, take a listen here, because it was excellent. Great job by the afternoon show, guys. Here's a little bit of Michael Kopech with McNeil and Parkins from Thursday.
I definitely do, and, you know, I think it had to do with me allowing myself to open up about it. It was something that I didn't talk about for a long time, and it kind of crippled me because I was so introverted, and not that I'm not introverted anymore, but I'm a lot more comfortable with who I am, and who I am isn't necessarily the center of attention person. You know, I'm not looking for the spotlight. I'm just looking to get my stuff done and get out. And I think I lied to myself about wanting that spotlight for a lot of my career, and, you know, kind of recognizing it for what it is now. And it is my career, and it is what I'm passionate about, but it's not just an excuse to get famous. You know, like, that side of the game is no longer important to me at all. But what it has done is it's allowed me to really focus on being the best version of myself, and that as a competitive athlete and just as a person. And so, to answer your question, yeah, I do feel maybe not necessarily healed. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't get anxiety anymore, but I'm a lot more comfortable in my own skin.
I'm pumping my fist here to hear you say that, because mental illness, and I've got it, long family history of it. I check a lot of boxes, Michael. You never healed. It's a daily process with medication, talk therapy, and having a support group, isn't it?
Right, absolutely. And it's something that has to be a daily practice, you know. And for me, it's been a routine, you know, a self-care routine, if you will, but it's something that I've had to create for myself to kind of cope with this. And that may sound like overwhelming to some people. Oh, you have to do that just to live a normal life. But you know what? It is just part of me. And for a lot of people, part of their routine in their life would be different to me. But kind of learning to deal with these things and finding things that work for me, it's just really been comforting. And having that support group is, you know, usually family. And having a wife now, that is family. And so I have people around me that are close to me, that love me and care about me. And it makes this stuff a lot easier. And, you know, I think the reason I like talking about it so much is, there's people out there that probably wonder if anyone else goes through this, because I was that person for a long time. And, you know, opening up about it has really allowed me to meet people that have gone through this and have gone through much worse. So it makes my perspective, you know, all the less important, but still that much more valuable.
Michael, what were the watershed moments that led you to seeking treatment? What was the bottom like?
The bottom was just being lost, in a sense. I can't really pinpoint to one thing. You know, I've vaguely talked about having a point of suicidal thoughts, and at that stage in my life, you know, it's not something I'm proud to talk about, but it's something that's very real. And at that stage in my life, I didn't know what I wanted, who I was, what I thought was a normal life, so to speak. And I think by being around people that truly love me and care about me, and not necessarily Michael Kopech, the baseball player, which I, even on my intro there, I've defined myself as a baseball player, but I think now it's more so about me, you know, being a baseball player second. You know, I have a real life and a real support group and a real loving family, and that's really what defines me. And then anything after that is just gravy on top.
That was a little bit of Michael Kopech joining the McNeil and Parkin show on Thursday. Just a little bit of taste for you, but a really important part of a great conversation that Michael had with the afternoon show a few days ago. If you want to hear the whole thing, go to 670thescore.com. I highly recommend it. And really important for a, you know, a high profile guy like that to speak so openly about mental health, because you certainly don't hear enough of that from, you know, players, professional athletes and people in really high positions, where on the outside you would think that, wow, you know, this guy is, he's handsome and he's talented and his wife is an actress and he's got millions of dollars coming his way. You know, he could, what could be the problem for him? But, you know, mental health certainly does not discriminate, and it can affect anybody, even somebody who looks to have everything all copacetic. So great for Michael Kopech to be able to openly talk about it, and hopefully from what he says, he's doing a lot better with it. So go check that out on 670thescore.com. But wait until after my show's over, because up next, the top of the hour, right at 8 o'clock, going to talk to Josh Nelson of Sox Machine, which is one of the better White Sox blogs out right now, and frankly has been for a while. He was at Sox Fest over the weekend. Always love to talk baseball with Josh, so we're going to do that right at 8 o'clock. And then after that, we will get to your calls, your text messages, your tweets, all that good stuff. I'm Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.